Summer is here, and the holiday weekend and the holiday week is coming up, and a lot of times we think about all the camaraderie and the fun we're going to have visiting with friends and family, and so much of that centers around food. But at the same time, while so many folks are celebrating with great and healthy food and big meals and parties, there are so many people across the state of Connecticut that are hungry, especially children and families and single parent homes and our aging population. So many folks going hungry, and that's where Connecticut Food Share comes into play. They are tasked to deliver an informed and equitable response to hunger because they mobilize many community partners, volunteers, and supporters. This organization is a member of Feeding America, a nationwide network of food banks, which brings them even a greater resource and influence. And to help talk about that today, we have brought in the president and CEO of the organization, who I was so thrilled to welcome to the new job a few years ago. Jason Jakubowski is with us with Connecticut Food Bank. Jason, good morning.
John, how are you? Great to be here with you.
Yeah, has it been two plus years?
It's been 3 years since we merged the two food banks together and created Connecticut Food Share. So, you know, for about 38 years, we had, Food Share serving the northern part of the state, Connecticut Food Bank serving the southern part of the state. And about 3 years ago, we merged them together into one food bank serving all 169 towns across the state of Connecticut. And so now we are Connecticut Food Share. So that has been it's been a little more than 3 years.
Well, Connecticut's a tiny.
Feels like a lifetime, by the way.
I mean,
the world seems to be going pretty fast. I feel like we've all aged like 20 years since then.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll tell you, between the post-COVID era fallout and this horrible train ride of inflation, especially. I think most felt by most people at their sources of food consuming or food providing. I mean, you go into the grocery store and the occasional 99-cent two for $4 boxes of cereal are now $4 to $6 each, and the list goes on and on. But
I tell people the two things we hear the most at our lines from people who are food insecure here in Connecticut. The two comments we hear the most: one is obviously the cost of groceries. The second is the cost of housing, and those are the two things that we hear the most. And I think they're really, they're definitely two of the drivers in terms of why people are finding themselves without knowing where their next meal is coming from.
Yeah,
just because of the lack of affordability.
Yeah, and it's two of the things we talk about the most here on For the People as well. And I know a lot of times, it starts to turn into this kind of deafening loop of noise.
Yeah.
The bottom line is Connecticut Food Share serves 169 towns in this small state. And there are hungry children and hungry families and hungry seniors in each of those 169 towns.
And people don't always get that. I'm glad you said that, John, because people don't always get that. I mean, I think people generally look at us here in Connecticut and they see one of the richest states in the country.
Sure.
They see
sure.
a tremendous amount of wealth. What they forget is that there's also a significant amount of poverty.
Yep.
And even in a really, really, even in the wealthiest town in the wealthiest state, i.e. Greenwich, neighbor to neighbor food pantry serves 1,000 families.
Yeah.
So, there is not one town that is immune. And I always say that to people, there is at least one family that we serve in each of the 169 towns. Could be a big city. It could be an affluent suburb. It could be a very small rural town with only a couple hundred people, but there are families all across the state, you know, struggling with it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say hundreds of kids going to bed hungry in Greenwich and Avon, up in the quiet corner.
We have a mobile truck that goes to Avon that serves Avon. They're there once every 2 weeks. More than 200 people are in line. Yeah. I mean, and people are like, wait a second, Avon, there's mansions. Yeah, there's mansions. There's also poverty. You never know when somebody is one paycheck away from not knowing where their next meal is coming from. And I think that's one of the realities we've seen. We certainly saw it during the pandemic, but yeah, we still see it to this day.
Yep. And the other reason we wanted to reel you in here before the holiday week was because tens of thousands of young people from pre-K on up to college age have now not only a summer break, but sadly a break from subsidized and provided food resources within their school environment or their school community. So let's get right to the heart of the matter here, because while people tend to really start thinking about the hungry a little bit before Thanksgiving, the worst time of the year for hunger is actually the time when everybody's looking forward to all their picnics and get-togethers and going out for dinner and stuff like that.
Absolutely. That is a 100% true fact. There's a lot of focus on what we do around the holidays, you know, around Thanksgiving, the December holidays, the New Year. But the truth is, the summer months are the hardest for people dealing with food insecurity because, as you mentioned, it's kids out of school. It makes the numbers go up dramatically. You have children that are used to one, maybe two, maybe even three meals a day at their school, and then it goes literally overnight down to zero. So that definitely adds a strain to the system. So while people like to think about us in November and December, the truth is the three busiest months of the year for us, the three hardest months of the year for what we do are June, July, August. Kids are out of school. There are also college kids that are, you know, you go to college, you may be on a meal plan, you come home, you're not on that meal plan anymore. So, I mean, that adds to it as well. So it's probably the time of the year that most people are not as engaged. Again, they're at their picnics, they're at the beach, they're going on vacation, but it's the time of the year where we spend the most money. It's the time of the year in which we have the least amount of volunteers too. So, it's definitely a tough juxtaposition for food banks, but, you're 100% right, John. June, July, August, busiest time of the year for us.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the volunteers, Jason, because you and I both know the value of a volunteer's hour is somewhere in the neighborhood just south of double the minimum wage to any charity that gets it.
I can actually give you the value. We have about 5,700 volunteers a year here. It is the mathematical equivalent to 23 full-time staff members. And I am a nonprofit. We cannot hire 23 additional full-time staff members. So, I mean, the value of volunteers is tremendous, especially at a nonprofit like ours.
So, and right about now, since the kids all got out of school over the past couple weeks, and they've fulfilled their entire season of sleeping in about 10 days, and now parents and caregivers are like, okay, well, we know we're going to go to the amusement park on this day, and we're going to go to the museum on that day, and we're going to go to the beach, and then we're going to take our vacation.
And then what do you do?
But now is the time to not only engage young people in volunteerism, but also in food activism. And the best place to do that would be to shuttle your teenager or qualified young person to volunteer at Connecticut Food Share.
Absolutely. I got to put you in a commercial for us or something there, John, because that is great. That is very well said. We do have a lot of families that want to try to get their children. Again, also college students who are home for the summer, sure, who may not have a lot to do. We see a lot of them coming in and saying, hey, you know, can I give a couple hours a week here or there? The good thing about volunteering here is there's a lot of different things you can do. You want to come in to the building and sort fruits and vegetables or frozen meat. You could go to one of our mobile sites. You could go to one of our 600 partner pantries across the state. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking to do something, we definitely can find, we definitely can put you to work, because again, we couldn't do what we do without the thousands of volunteers we have every single year.
Yeah, and the advantage of rising juniors and seniors in high school and college age kids coming to volunteer for Connecticut Food Share is so many of our colleges and universities now have their own food pantries and their own hunger crises going. And these people gaining the experience at an operation that's been so tried and true and so long tenured as Connecticut Food Share, these people are going to be able to really get back to their campus or get onto campus as a freshman and say, I'm going to work at the food bank here on campus and I'm going to know what I'm going to know the routine because I did it at Connecticut Food Share.
So 15 years ago, Goodwin University was probably the first collegiate food pantry that we had here in the state of Connecticut. And it was kind of an outlier because it was like, oh, wait a second. Well, you know, you don't see a lot of colleges having pantries. Almost everyone in Connecticut has one now. We serve almost every college and university here in the state of Connecticut. Over the last 2 years, we onboarded the University of Connecticut and the whole UConn system. There is now a Husky Harvest pantry on all seven of UConn's campuses because they recognize that, you know, there are students who absolutely, you know, struggle with food security and don't know where their next meal is coming from. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what started as kind of an anomaly 15 years ago has now really become the mainstream. And, you know, we just onboarded a Central Connecticut State University earlier this week. Yeah. You know, if you go to any college campus in Connecticut, they finally recognize that, you know, college students struggle.
Yeah. CTFoodShare.org is the website to go. Students, if you're listening, parents, caregivers, if you're listening, anyone who oversees young people that may need to or want to do something productive, important, and contributing over the summer, along with enjoying their time off, would be to volunteer. And as you just heard from our guest, Jason Jakubowski, who's president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share, that you don't have to go to one of their stations in Wallingford or one of their other centers or distribution locations. You can go right in your own hometown. There's likely a place you can interact with Connecticut Food Share in each of the 169 cities and towns across Connecticut. So Jason, we want to give you a quick break because there's something else that's going on in the summertime that kind of in some ways mirrors the crisis with hunger in our younger people. Reading during the summertime can help prevent learning loss and increase knowledge moving into a new school year. So many people kind of lose their toehold in terms of their educational progress over the summer because they're not reading enough. So our friends at Read to Grow are inviting you to join the Summer Reading Challenge family reading time that'll run the whole month of July. Participating is easy. Just get the family together one day a week, everyone with their favorite book in hand, and read together in a comfortable shared space, whether it's at the beach, the park, your own living room, or around the dinner table. If you post qualified images of your reading activities each week with the hashtag RTGS Summer Reading, you'll also be eligible to win prizes. You want to find out more? Just visit our friends at readtogrow.org. So as we said, we are with Jason Jakubowski, who's the head heading up Connecticut Food Share, which is supporting individuals and families from one end of the state to the other. They're addressing root causes of hunger, creating long-term solutions, and distributing nutritious food through local partner programs in an effort to alleviate hunger. Heck, they're even growing it themselves, and they're growing it in a really environmentally friendly and progressive way. Jason, tell us about the hydroponics program.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been experimenting with about a year ago, our board of directors decided to run a pilot program with hydroponic farming. So if you come to our facility here in Wallingford, you'll see these two bulkhead type things outside in the driveway. And people always say, oh, those are storage facilities. They're not. They're actually farms. We have the equivalent inside those two facilities of about 5 acres of arable land, and it's climate controlled. And all throughout the year, we're able to grow a harvest and then distribute leafy greens and other vegetables that we're able to give to people in need and to our pantries across the state. It's a pretty innovative thing in that, you know, I mean, one of the downsides to Connecticut is, you know, you obviously cannot, you know, grow anything in the soil in February or March. But with hydroponics, we are able to do that. And so for the last year, we've been able to produce, tens of thousands of pounds of fresh produce for people in need all across the state of Connecticut.
And this, you have one single hydroponic situation right now?
Well, we have two. It's two separate units, but it's one program. You know, we're looking at the numbers and how successful it's been after the first year. Our goal has always been to hope that it's something that's replicable in other spots around the state of Connecticut. I mean, if we can make it work here, we're hopeful that we can maybe make it work at some of our partners or in other places in need around the state. But it's pretty cool because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people in need don't necessarily get the freshest produce that's available.
Yeah.
And this is a way of making sure that they do. You know, just because you don't know where your next meal is coming from does not mean that you don't deserve the best food.
Very good. A couple of final things in the last few minutes that we have, and then we'll get you on the road. First is just to remind folks of something you mentioned earlier on in the conversation, that you folks field at least one mobile food pantry, but I thought it was more.
Actually, we have 113 different mobile sites across the state of Connecticut. It's actually three different trucks that go to the different areas across the state. They run on a 2-week cycle, so it works out very well in that, you know, the trucks are at the same place at the same time every 2 weeks. And it's a way for people to go and get direct food from us. We tend to have a lot of fresh produce there. And the list of all of those sites are on our website, ctfoodshare.org.
As our tips for running a successful food drive, we talked about volunteering for Connecticut Food Share or one of their partner organizations. But another way you can help the organization is, you know, get your entire summer camp involved, or get your entire scout troop or your entire neighborhood involved in some sort of a food drive. You can learn more about that and how to get that food either to Connecticut Food Share or possibly even get it picked up if there's enough tonnage, I suppose. And
absolutely. We encourage people, if people want to donate, do can drives and make cans and donate non-perishable foods, they can certainly drop them off here. They can drop them off to their local pantry. If they want to collect dollars, always better off giving them to a food bank, because we're able to buy more with those dollars. For example, you go to the store with a dollar, you could buy one can of soup. You give a dollar to a food bank, we could probably buy 20 cans of soup because we're buying in bulk. So camps do food drives all the time, and they're very, very helpful, to especially the local communities.
But you hit the nail on the head, Jason, in terms of not just collecting the necessary and needed foods for the local shelters or to put into the Connecticut Food Share Network, but the dollars that go with it. And it's important for people to just remember that one fact that you said when people say, well, why are you collecting money and non-perishable food items? Well, because the dollar that you might spend on one can of soup, that same dollar could buy 20 cans of soup through a consortium buying network through the pantries in the that are networking with Connecticut Food Share. So this was a quite great and informative revisiting with you, Jason. And I really appreciate you taking the time this morning.
I'm happy to chat with you anytime, John. We really appreciate all the support of not only your listeners, but just the folks around the state of Connecticut. We couldn't do what we do without them.
Jason Jakubowski is president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share. CTFoodShare.org is their website. We hope you'll get involved, collect and donate some money, run a food drive, or consider volunteering for Food Share or one of their many affiliates located in each of the 169 towns in Connecticut. Thank you again, Jason. Have a great summer. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.